RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
My next guest is Frey, a government-mandated out holistic dental surgeon who has just published a book with a clever roadmap on how to avoid dentistry as much as possible. Frey came to New Zealand in 2007 after 25 years running a very popular private holistic dental clinic in Rotterdam, Netherlands, and he repeated that for 15 years in Picton with his dental SPA. Frey is passionate about changing dentistry to a minimally invasive artisan healing art in which balancing the teeth is the main secret to prevent aging and problems. The book is Free Your Smile, and Frey is with me. Hi, Frey. Thanks for coming on. Let me see your smile.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Wonderful to be here on my favorite station.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. So I guess we're all used to the conventional world of dentistry. We've all been through it from a kid all the way on up. And I've wondered sometimes, do we overdo it? Do we?
I think in a lot of cases we are overdoing it. And most important thing is that we have to promote a new way of thinking. And I feel dentistry is all about that you start thinking about at the moment you're either brushing your teeth or you have pain. And today I want to simply start with one little thing, and that is like when you have pain, and there's quite a lot of people at the moment who might be listening and having pain, you can do a lot of self-diagnosing, self-testing, and then after that, even self-healing. And maybe only 10-15% actually needs a dentist.
Oh, really?
And that's where the book is about. And just simply for people who are in pain at this very moment. For many years, I already had a website with my practice in dentistry in Picton, which was called the Dental Spa, because I'd like to give it a nice...
Oh, I said SPA. Okay, I thought it was an acronym. Spa, of course. Duh. All right. Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, because I'd like to give it a nicer name, because I think dentistry should be more humane. And I did a lot of things there that made it nicer. But in that website, I had a whole page, and it was actually called www.dentist.help. And dentist.help is one page only, in which you immediately can get a lot of self-testing, self-ideas on what to do, but also in emergencies, what you can do immediately when you lose a tooth or have a crack or have a chipped tooth or whatever. In a lot of cases, when it's really bad, of course, you still have to see the dentist, but you can do a lot without immediately panicking. And I think that moment of panicking is really important, because there, when you know you have a simple guideline of only one page what to do, that's really helpful.
I want to just ask a few basic curious questions about teeth that I've always wanted to ask someone who could possibly answer. Teeth, I mean, they're so crucial. They can generate so much pain if there's a problem. You would have thought that, you know, evolution would have made them, I don't know, hardier, less painful, less problematic, given, you know, it's the way that we eat our food substantially. Why do you think teeth are like they are?
Yeah, the funny thing is with teeth, they are a non-self-generating tissue. So once you have them, there's not much that is actually happening. So you do need a higher maintenance on them.
But there'll be a reason for them to be non-generating or regenerating, wouldn't there? There'd be some kind of reason for that. I'm wondering.
Well, I sometimes feel it's a divine flaw to keep dentists working.
Beautiful answer. Got to give the dentists a break.
However,
design process. All right.
However, it's been for like so many thousands of years that we didn't have dentistry. So what happened then? And that's one of the things I actually take on in the book, because I feel that you can learn from that period. And you can also ask yourself, does every tooth that in the end maybe dies because there was pain actually needs a treatment like a root canal, etc.?
Which are expensive.
And I did quite a bit of research in that and found out through all kinds of different ways of testing minimal invasive treatments that in the end, there's one little 5-minute treatment that every dentist can do, and then the patient can go home. And in most cases, the tooth will heal, or at least, there's kind of a balanced situation with a dead tooth that it stays in a balanced situation, which, in my opinion, and I've done a lot of research, does not always, and actually almost never, give a major problem.
Okay, yeah. All right. So dentistry is how old as we know it now? Can't be that old. Before it was what? Do you tie something to the door or something and give it a big shove and pull it out and carry on? But obviously dental science now is really sophisticated. How long has that been around, that level of sophistication?
Well, I started in 1982 and you didn't even have implants then, although they were starting it. And it's funny that there's this whole feeling, this moment, that technology will solve everything. So you have patients coming in who say, oh, let's just take them all out and just replace them with implants. Well, only this week I saw a YouTube video that was promoting that we can even take our heads off our body and then replace
I saw the video. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Like in a production line kind of setting.
I can tell you, 15 years ago, there was the similar video that like a robot arm would take over dentistry. And it never happened.
Okay.
And I will not say that it will never happen, but I feel that the feeling that the idea that technocracy can take over everything, I promote go back to a more arty dentistry, a more humane one in which we do as minimal as possible and make it fun. And it seems strange, but you can actually do a lot. I mean, you can give a patient a nice hot stone on their tummy just to make them feel better. A nice towel to refresh at the end of the treatment, like you're flying business class. Little things that cost nearly nothing that help a lot. And this is the same thing with anesthetic. I did mainly work without anesthetic because I used several techniques to reassure the patient that the pain would be minimal. And the funny thing is, there's now a lot of asking about how are anesthetics at this moment, because they are an injectable, to be trusted? And the answer is we don't know. NZDSOS has tested them. And, we see dirt in there, but we never tested them like a long, long time before. So this is a new thing. So we are concerned, but we do ask answers and we get answers from manufacturers and they say, we have nothing special in there and it's definitely not any graphene oxide or nanoparticles or whatever. But we see stuff floating in there. Well, then it might be better that your dentist is minimal invasive and actually uses as little as possible anesthetic, local anesthetic, or any injectables, I would say.
Well, I remember going to the school dental clinic as a kid, probably 8 or 9, and we didn't have anesthetic. That's why we called it the murder house, because you could, the drill was in and you could feel the pain. We somehow handled it. So is that more a recent development, the sort of pain treatment? Because no one wants pain, obviously.
Pain in dentistry has a bad name in New Zealand because, indeed, in the school dental clinics, there has been a lot of treatment without anesthetic. And for children, that is not necessary. We come from the Netherlands where We actually have a treatment style that is called ART and is a treatment in which in developing countries, lay people are actually trained to do minimal dentistry without pain, and they don't need much of a drill at all. They do it with hand instruments. Right. And even that kind of thing you can do for children. But for adults, the funny thing is most adults don't know, especially when you're over 50, that your teeth are far less sensitive than when you're younger.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that makes a huge difference. So maybe just ask your dentist, can you just try to do it minimally invasive and try to just give it a try how it goes? And after that, if it doesn't work, you can always still add it on. But most people don't know that they can actually have most of the work done without anesthetic.
I think you mentioned self-diagnosis earlier. I know when the teeth hurt. What are some of the things that you can sort of check off in that process before you head off to the dentist and have confidence in what you're kind of thinking?
I imagine a lot of pain starts by cavities. If there are cavities and you can see them and it's a huge gap and you have nothing done about it, then you actually know that you are not so clever. I think then in most cases that is already self-diagnosing. If you can't see a cavity, then it becomes more interesting. What is it then? Mm. And I am promoting the idea that dentists should more look at older teeth that are cracking, because a lot of older teeth do, and they end up in having pain because of a crack. It usually starts with the sensitivity for hot and cold and whatever. And the cause for all that cracking is not our chewing, that is minimal. It's the clenching and the grinding that we're doing. And that's where I feel that there should be more looking into to make possible to have the patient diagnosed on that particular thing. And you can do that yourself, because if your tooth actually hurts by clenching hard or grinding, then that is an indicator that what is causing it, and that kind of overloading of the tooth that caused by the grinding or clenching is something that you can alleviate yourself by simply putting some chewing gum in between your teeth, sugar-free preferably. And with that, you won't have any contact between your teeth. And you can even do that when you go to sleep.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's one simple self-healing thing. Of course, that making that tooth that is hurting less hurting by giving it rest, that's the basic of healing. Rest is the basic of healing. So that 5-minute treatment that the dentist can do for you, when a tooth is inflamed, it pushes up a little bit, it comes out of the socket a tiny bit, it's only like a fraction of a millimeter, but the dentist then can just take tiny bit of the height of the tooth in which it contacts to the other on the opposing jaw. And that's
simple.
All
Yeah,
and then you have rest, you have healing time. And in most cases, that is enough.
Now, losing teeth. I think a lot of people will lose a tooth rather than invest money into repairing it. And I know what that's like, because I had cancer treatment 10 years ago. And part of that, I lost 9 teeth. It was brutal. I still get by. Most of them are the molars at the back. I still get by. But how far should you go to save a tooth as opposed to just pull it? You know, it's simple, it's over quickly, and it's probably cheaper.
Well, there's a chapter in the book that says less is more. And there's a whole theory from a professor in the Netherlands who did a world famous research on that. You don't need to 32 teeth. It's far too many. It's not far too many. When you have them and they're good, just keep them and maintain them. It's great. But you can do with, half of that, 16 or maybe 20. That is wonderful. It's just you have exactly the same chewing capability. the only thing is you want the, I think one of the main important things is if you want to look good as well. So it's preferably not the ones losing the ones on the, in the front or in the visible cosmetic area. So you want to have like the back molars out, and no one gives a problem with taking a wisdom tooth, like the very far backwards, the one out, but you can actually have that with the tooth in front of the wisdom tooth as well. It's more or less superfluous.
So here on RCR, we've talked to a lot of people who have views on how we need to kind of reinvent our health system, legacy system. It's more of a sickness system, people say. Lifestyle medicine's important. Back to the old, you know, the old obvious things of nutrition and food that, you know, has either been flying, running, or whatever, and getting away from these ultra-processed foods and fats, et cetera. So dentistry is part of a reinvention of the overall health system that needs to take place. I'm picking you think. Is that what you think?
Well, as an NZDSOS doctor, one of the co-founders, we have been talking a lot about creating an alternative. And I do feel that the system is failing. And I think it's far too much focused on technocracy, on technical solutions or chemical solutions. And those two things is what I promote to reduce, because it is true. You can, well, everyone knows that in dentistry, you can prevent an awful lot. Cavities in dentistry, you can prevent by skipping food or anything that has carbohydrates for 2 hours. It's a so-called 2-hour rule. So it's not about brushing. Brushing is important to do once a day only for just keeping your teeth clean, which stops gum disease. And, well, of course, nutrition is very important, just boosting your immune system without chemical toxins, and it's important to keep your food as clean as possible, as of course your water. And well, you can't do much about the air, unfortunately. So yeah, there is so much you can do in prevention, and the book is actually filled with lots of nutrition advice, because the book was minimally co-authored by Dr. Carolyn Wheeler, who is a functional medicine doctor and a good friend of mine. And yeah, this is many, many details in there that what you can do. And I'm also giving a workshop all over New Zealand, and there's going to be one in Christchurch the 7th of July. But it's the basics you can even pick up when you go to the website, where I give a free course, which only takes about half an hour, with 5 videos in there that gives the core basis of where we have to go in dentistry, and where you can learn a lot of self-healing things. And I don't think there is too much of prevention being promoted in New Zealand dentistry. I still feel it's very minimal, and I'm more from the European Scandinavian style, where promotion of prevention is actually almost free in most cases, because that's being financed by insurance companies.
Right. Okay. Freeyoursmile.org is where they can go. I take it. I'm looking at it right now. Fluoride, Dr. Frey. Fluoride. People brush with it. They drink it, depending on where they are. Is there any? And maybe we can expect a certain answer here, but maybe not. Is there any benefit from fluoride, anything fluoride, for teeth?
In my feeling, it's not enough to compensate for the possible side effects. Okay. And that's the balance we should look at every chemical. I feel that in the time and age we're in, there's too many chemicals that are being promoted as a solution for everything. And when is it that we lose the fear of bugs and create a deep trust in our natural self-healing, which is all about avoiding chemical toxins in food, water, and air, and injectables. Because why is it not? It's so funny that people think that germs are causing all disease, and it's not the pesticides, herbicides, the glyphosate, the Teflon, the fluoride, the plastic, the forever chemicals, the vegetable oils, the artificial sweeteners, the flavors, the colors, the chemicals, the GMOs, the antibiotics, the EMF, etc. I mean, it's the chemicals that are creating this, and it's the industry that tries to blame the bugs to sell the chemicals.
Yeah,
it's that simple.
It's the business model. I think we've kind of realized that. I've been told that in medical training, doctor training, only 6 hours or something ridiculous like that is, you know, on nutrition, where it's really at the bottom of layer of health in the end. What sort of training in dentistry, I guess, in New Zealand, but, you know, more broadly, is given to the things you've been talking about?
Not enough, I think. It's often diverted by dentists to, okay, that's work for the dental hygienist, or, as we had in the Netherlands, prevention assistants, which I think is a lovely thing. And there were never enough dental hygienists. I think a patient, if they go to the dentist and does want to hear something prevention, could well be informed by someone who is not a dentist. So it's not a bad idea. However, there's never been enough hygienists. So in the Netherlands, we as a profession ourselves started training our best dental chair assistants as prevention assistants. Okay. Which made them really happy because they could actually do some stuff themselves. And they gave all the information about prevention and nutrition. And that's something that's definitely missing here in New Zealand. And I tried to introduce it, but no one was really interested. However, you can train yourself these days online. There's so much available.
Do your own research.
Yep. Keep asking questions and do some research.
Yeah. Well, it's been fascinating chatting with you. Really appreciate you coming on. I think we've done a lot on the body. Well, of course, the teeth are part of the body, but we haven't kind of got our heads around the teeth so much, or the mouth. So thank you for coming on. If people want to buy the book, they go to freeyoursmile.org. Is that the best place, or what do you recommend for that?
That's the best place. And you can also find the course there, the free course, and the workshop dates.
Okay, Dr. Frey, thanks for coming on RCR. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Wonderful.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.